Nina Totenberg, welcome to WBOI.
It's really my pleasure to be in Fort Wayne, even remotely.
Are there any legal questions or decisions coming out of this session of the court that you think haven't gotten their due? Any questions the public should be maybe paying more attention to?
It's a really good question. I haven't even read all the decisions that came down this week. There were 7 of them. I really have to sit back and think about that.
Okay.
They certainly dodged the whole question of social media and what constitutes a threat on social media, and whether the rules for the internet, because of the nature of the internet in terms of free speech, can or should be in any way any different than they are now. There was a case involving a threat to a woman by her estranged husband, and a threat to the FBI agent who was investigating it. Very gory threats. But they were posted on Facebook, and he said he was just venting. And a lot of us thought maybe we'd get some sort of a window into the court's thinking about the internet and social media. Well, we didn't get much, so they dodged it.
You raise a good point. I mean, you've been covering the court for so long, but the court covers so much ground in a given session. It must be difficult to keep up with everything that the court is considering in a given year.
You know, you mark the things that you have to do, but at the end, it's a bit of a train wreck in terms of opinions. At the start of this week, there were 17 decisions left, and somewhere between a week and 2 weeks till the end of the term. And typically, the court sits only 1 or 2 days a week at the end of the term to hand down decisions. So they sat on Thursday, and they issued 7 opinions. It's just sort of an avalanche, and you just have to pick and choose, and then later on try to catch up, and sometimes you don't catch up entirely.
Do you think the justices, when they get these big cases, feel the weight of the burden when they come along, or are they simply, you know, resolving legal questions just like any other day? I mean, the gay rights question, the Affordable Care Act question, these are big, big issues, and everybody has their eyes on the court right now.
Well, I think some of the justices do feel the burden more in some cases than others, and it depends which kind of a case and how close of an issue it is. Others, you know, the same-sex marriage issue, the handwriting's been on the wall that the court was ultimately going to have to decide this issue. And for some members of the court, I think they've resolved it in their own minds. It's not difficult anymore. For others, it may be more difficult. And for the Chief Justice, and for all of the justices to a lesser extent, they always have to think about the integrity of the court as a sort of the currency of the court, and not to get too far out in front of the public, not to appear to do things that are wacky, not to do anything that might seem inappropriate. So all of that is, I think, on their minds, too. And, you know, obviously, some issues are more difficult for some people. I mean, the abortion issue to take this out of the current court and put it to the late Justice William Brennan, who was quite a devout Catholic, ruled on a number of abortion decisions in a way that was anathema to the Catholic Church. And he very much thought that there was a big difference between what he thought from a religious point of view and what was in the Constitution. But it was difficult for him. And it meant that he actually incurred the wrath of some of the local Catholic Church hierarchy. It was not an easy issue for him. I think legally, he came to a conclusion and was relatively secure with that conclusion. But morally and religiously and personally, it was a much more difficult decision for him.
You bring up a really good point there. I mean, I think a lot of folks, you know, they think of the Supreme Court, these justices, this system, it's kind of monolithic. And it's easy to forget that these are made up of real people making very difficult decisions sometimes.
It's absolutely true. And, of course, their own experiences also determine to some extent how they view these things.
I'm curious, what do you wish Americans understood better about the Supreme Court? You've covered the court for a long time now. That maybe we don't understand as well as we should. You know, what do you wish that our listeners knew more of when it comes to the Supreme Court of the United States?
I wish they understood that the disagreements on the court may be ideological. And I suppose sometimes they're politically partisan as well, but mainly they're ideological. They're not Republican-Democrat partisan disagreements. And they are disagreements that take place internally almost always on the written page. There's no vote trading. I'll vote for you in this case if you vote for me in that case. That just simply doesn't exist. And there's relatively small amount of exchange of views face-to-face. They have a conference every week in which they discuss cases that have just been argued, and they take a tentative vote. But beyond that and the occasional meeting to work out some language, most of what goes on there is circulated opinions, draft dissents, answering the opinion, answering the dissent, redrafting.
And just the sheer amount of work that goes into each of these decisions is monumental, in other words.
Not every decision, but certainly every decision of consequence. There's a reason that some cases are decided in 4 to 6 weeks. They weren't very difficult for anybody. They went through a few drafts. Internally, they circulated them. Everybody said, fine. But those are not cases anybody cares about. Not unless it's, you know, some isolated little group of lawyers who specialize in this area.
Nina Totenberg is legal affairs correspondent for NPR. Nina, thank you so much for your time and for your expertise as well. We appreciate it.
And thank you so much for having me.